Oftentimes, when we read the scriptures in the Old Testament, people struggle to understand what the Old Testament has to do with us today. And many people will argue that the Old Testament is not relevant to us in our spiritual journey as Christians. But on the contrary, what is revealed in the Old Testament that we carry on into our own lives and our own spiritual journey is the character of God. And we see all throughout the Old Testament consistencies in the character of God and who God is, what he does, and how he acts. And one of the characteristics of God that I've come to appreciate most, even though sometimes I don't like the way he works it out, is that God is a just God. Oftentimes it seems like life is just simply not fair, doesn't it? Two things that are often said to me when people get in times of trouble, maybe sickness or they're having a problem of some sort, something happens in their life. First of all, they like to ask why. Why? Why is this happening? And secondly, I often hear that this is not fair. This is not fair. And as we think about that biblically, about life being fair, we sometimes see throughout the Bible things that seem unfair. When, however, the truth is that things are always just, because God is the creator of the heavens and the earth and in charge of all of life. Many times it feels like we're being taken advantage of in our troubles, and we begin to wonder if we have anybody who can help us. We want justice. We want maybe revenge. Have you ever wanted to just hand your problem over to someone and say, here, you deal with this. I don't want to deal with this. I can't deal with this. Here, you deal with this. But if we stop to think for a moment, we realize that the Bible teaches us that God is already dealing with it as he goes ahead of us, working justice for his people. In other words, I guess what I'm saying is, when we come to those points in our lives, when we start saying, this is not fair, why is this happening to me? Who can I get to help me? I feel so helpless. We have to stop for a moment and understand that there's a bigger picture that involves so much more than just us. And that God is already going ahead of us, preparing the way as he did his people in the desert as they wandered around for 40 years. To understand God is already dealing with issues and working justice for his people. When we turn to the book of 1 Samuel, we find Israel is at a religious low point in their history. Even the priesthood was corrupt. The nation longed for a king. They were a theocracy before this point, meaning that God was their king, and the people who worked out justice in the community and made decisions were the judges. Samuel comes at the end of that period of judges, and it gives us a history of the period of time between the judges of Israel and the monarchies, when Saul would become first king and then David after him. But one of the things we see throughout the Bible, and especially here in this story, as this history unfolds here this morning, is that when we are taken advantage of in life, God notices and he executes justice. In the Old Testament, the word justice means to make right. To make right, and understand that if we are God's people through Jesus Christ, as the Bible tells us we are children of God through Christ, we know that God is going to make things right, no matter how disturbing they might be in our lives, disrupting our lives, or how futile or fatal those things might be. Understand that God makes things right and executes justice. If God is a just God, then he's always going to work on behalf of his people. In our text today, if we remember now, this woman, Hannah, did not have children. She prayed to God. God gave her a child. She dedicated the child to the Lord. She took him up to Shiloh when she went to worship there, and she dedicated him to the Lord and turned him over to the service of the Lord at Shiloh. Then they went back home to Ramah. But the boy stayed there to minister with Eli, who was the priest. And Eli had two sons. These sons were scoundrels. They were wicked men, and the priesthood, especially there at Shiloh, had become corrupted, and they were taking advantage of the people. The people would bring meat to be offered for the sacrifice, and they would take meat for themselves, you see, against the laws of God. And they treated all the Israelites this way who came to Shiloh, taking advantage of them. The sin, it tells us, of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight. They were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. But we see, as the story continues here in chapter 2, Samuel was ministering before the Lord. He began his service to the Lord under Eli. Samuel remained true to the Lord despite the other priest's corruption. You see, he remained true to the Lord. His mother and father would come every year, and they would see him there. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife Hannah and said, "May the Lord give you children to take the place of the one that she prayed for." And it tells us the Lord was gracious to Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to three sons and two daughters. And Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Now, the story tells us that as Eli was getting very old, he heard everything about his sons and what they were doing and how they were sleeping with all these different women who served at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and he confronted them about it and called them on it. But yet he didn't do anything about it. He told them that the Lord was going to judge them and intercede for him. But they didn't listen to Eli's warning. It tells us again, the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men. Now, we don't know who this man of God was that came to Eli, but a prophet came to Eli and told Eli what was going on and convicted him and confronted him about the corruption that was taking place in the priestly order. And he said, did I not clearly reveal myself to your father's house when they were in Egypt under Pharaoh? That was Aaron. Aaron was the founder of the priesthood of Israel, and his descendants were the priests that served Israel. And this prophet went on to convict Eli, and he said to him, "Why do you scorn the sacrifices and offerings of God? And why do you honor your sons more than God by fattening yourself on the choice parts?" "Therefore," this prophet said, "the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that your house and your father's house would minister before me forever, but now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I'll honor. Those who despise me will be disdained." And he went on to prophesy the words of the Lord that Eli's family of priesthood would be destroyed or judged and dealt with justly. You see. He says, "I'm going to cut short your strength and the strength of your father's house so that there's not going to be an old man in your family line, and you'll see distress in my dwelling." Speaking of the time when the Philistines came and captured the ark and took the ark from the tent of meeting. It says, "Although good will be done to Israel in your family line, there's never going to be an old man. Every one of you that I don't cut off will be spared, only to blind your eyes with tears and to grieve your heart. And what happens to your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, will be assigned to you. They'll both die on the same day. And I'll raise up for myself a faithful priest." If you read the history of Israel, you find out this is what happened, that his sons were both killed in battle on the same day. A faithful priest was raised up under named Zadok. Saul had, if you remember the story, Saul had the priests massacred at Nob. Those priests from Eli's family were massacred by Saul when he became king because they sided with David, and Saul was jealous of David. And the only one that escaped was Abiathar that joined David as he escaped. But later, the priesthood was transferred to the family line of Zadok through Solomon. Okay, just to give you a little bit of history. But as we find out, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. Now, as we think about this a little bit, God had promised that Aaron's descendants would be priests in the priestly line forever. But what happened, the priesthood became corrupt in Israel. So God stepped in. They were taking advantage of the people, the priests were, and they were treating the sacrifices with contempt, you see. And they were not honoring God. And God stepped in. We find this all throughout the New Testament, throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, that God steps in justly in these times of injustice. He steps in to work his arm of justice. When we start to understand about this, we start to talk about things about the sovereignty of God. Why would God go back on his word? It seemed like God's going back on his word. But you know, God is sovereign and he's in control. He's in charge, and God does what God wants to do in the way he wants to do it, when he wants to do it, and to whom he wants to do it. And the thing that we understand about God's justice is that when we are in these times of distress in our lives, whether you just heard something from the doctor that scares you to death, or whether you've received a bill in the mail unjustly and you feel like you're being taken advantage of, or whether someone that you know that you thought was a friend is taking advantage of you, or whatever it might be, understand that God doesn't stand for that kind of stuff. Therefore, we should neither take advantage of other people, because God doesn't like that. He doesn't stand for it. And sooner or later, he steps in and judges things with justice and righteousness and takes control. And look what he did. He completely flip-flopped the priesthood of Israel. We're going to find out as we go on in the story that Samuel comes into play in this whole thing in anointing Saul and David as king of Israel. But God comes in and he turns things upside down because he sees the injustices taking place. And when you feel like you just want to hand your problems over to somebody else, the person we can turn them over to is God. And he says, I got this. I got this. I'm already working on it. And little do we know that he's already working in all different ways that we don't understand to provide a way where there's what seems like injustice. We're talking about the character of God here this morning, which is very important in our lives as Christians. In Psalm 89, it tells us righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Psalm 9 says the Lord is known by his justice. The wicked are ensnared by the work of their hands. Isaiah chapter 9 says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. He'll reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. One of the problems with the nation in Jesus' time was that the Pharisees were neglecting justice. Jesus comes on the scene and he was calling them on it and convicting them of their lack of justice and compassion on people, and instead allowing corruption to be the rule in society. When we think about these kind of things, we start to understand that the Lord is just. When somebody says to me, well, it's just not fair, and I have to restrain myself from saying, show me in the Bible where it tells us life is going to be fair. But understand that life is going to be just if we trust in the Lord, that he only allows things to go on for so long unjustly before he steps in. Let's see. Romans, Paul told the Roman believers, God presented him as a sacrifice, meaning Jesus, of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he left the sins committed beforehand unpunished, and he did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies. Now, Dr. James Montgomery Boyce made a statement one time that when we get to heaven and we come before God at the great white throne judgment, and God is judging every human being, first of all, we won't be hand in hand with our friends, with our family. We'll be single file in that line. I want you to picture that. We'll come to the throne, single file. You will be you. You will not be
so-and-so's son or daughter or brother or sister. You won't be a Methodist, a Baptist, a Catholic, or Presbyterian. You will be you in the eyes of God, single file, and he will judge us, each of us, one by one. And Dr. Boyce said that God's condemnation of the wicked or those who have rejected him will be so just, such a just judgment, that there will not be a word spoken when they are judged and when he casts them off and out of his presence. And the Bible tells us that nobody will have an excuse. You see, no one will say to God, but wait, you didn't tell me. Romans tells us that God reveals himself to all human beings so that no one has an excuse. You see, and God, in dealing justly with humanity, knows that we'd stand there without Jesus Christ given to us, without that offering of salvation by God first. We'd stand there and say, this isn't fair. This is why salvation by works isn't biblically correct, and it's heresy against Christian doctrine. Because if we stand in that line and the person ahead of me enters into eternal glory with Jesus because they've done certain works, and I come behind and I've done just a little bit less and God sends me to hell, I'm going to say that's not fair. That's not fair. But what did God do? He gave us Jesus Christ. As Paul told the Ephesians, as the one by whom all are judged. Do we believe? Don't we believe? Why did God do that? To exercise his justice. Because he's a just God. So that no one will be able to say, you didn't tell me, this isn't fair. God says it's not about fairness. It's about justice. I'm not sending you to hell. I'm giving you the punishment you deserve because you disobeyed the laws. Now, we say, ouch. Ouch. I don't like that. It's not fair. But it's just because God gave us his laws and he gave us Jesus as salvation, forgiveness of sins when we break those laws. And God presented Jesus as a sacrifice through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance, he left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. If this is who God is and we can see that he does not allow injustice, we know that we can trust him in our times of distress, especially to the point of death. To put it simply, God has compassion on those in distress. God told the Romans in our reading this morning, it's not that God's word has failed, because then we could say God's unjust. He said, not at all. He told Moses, I'll have mercy on who I have mercy. I'll have compassion on who I have compassion. We do not dictate that. We do not work God. We do not deal with God. We only come to God asking for mercy and compassion. And through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Because God says, this is the way it has to be. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we receive mercy. We receive compassion. And when the person comes and says, I don't understand why God is allowing this in my life, sometimes we have to explore that reason why God is allowing that in your life. And ultimately, the key is he's allowing it to draw you closer to him. The question is it doing that? Is it doing that? Let's see. When we read this story, we start to see how God took the corrupt priesthood and completely turned it upside down and appointed new priests that would follow him. And along comes Samuel into the picture.
Samuel stayed true to God and true to his word, continued to minister before the Lord. And we remember that in our times of need, when it feels like life is so unfair, when we're suffering, when we're wondering why, we have to understand that God's working something bigger than what we can truly and fully know. It's especially hard when we watch young people die, young people getting diseases, and we know they're not going to be with us very long. We say, why, God? This isn't fair. There's always a bigger picture, and trusting that God's just and he's working that bigger picture is the key to finding peace in it all. If we're God's children through faith in Jesus Christ, we can find comfort knowing that God is working his arm of justice for us now as he always has. And that's the character of God that we see here, that God makes things right. And sometimes we don't like the way he does it, you see. But he says, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. I'll do it my way. I'll do what I want because I'm God. I'm sovereign. It doesn't depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. You see, we wonder why God hardened Pharaoh's heart. We wonder why God hardens the hearts of so many people today. Oftentimes, the struggle is wondering why people will not follow Jesus, why they won't listen to God's word, and why they won't follow God's word in living out their lives. And in reality, part of my job in sharing that, sharing God's word and teaching God's word, is so that when some get before God and they say, that's not fair, I didn't know, you didn't tell me, God can say every Sunday morning, I told you, when Pastor Mike opened the Bible and told you all about who I was and my commandments and my laws and my statutes and my love and compassion and mercy, but you never turned to me. The sheep will be separated from the goats. Us. That's not fair. The Bible doesn't say it will be. The Bible says it'll be just. And God's a just God. He does what he wants. He's sovereign. And he's powerful. James says the Lord is full of compassion and mercy, and this plays out in his justice. Now, this is going to give us a lot to think about and a lot to wrestle with in our lives. But Psalm 37, a psalm of David, puts it like this. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they'll soon wither. Like green plants, they'll soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn and justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those whose hope is in the Lord will inherit the land. David goes on in Psalm 37. Which is a lengthy psalm to talk about God's sovereignty and how the wicked will perish, but the righteous will flourish. We say, that's not fair. God created us all. He loves us all. We're all going to heaven. No, we're not. The Bible tells us we're not. That some are destined to hell, and some are destined to heaven. And we say, that's not fair. And we say, no. It's not about fairness. It's about justice. The question is, are we trusting in God's justice? Are we allowing God to order our lives? To know that when we stand before him face to face, his justice will be on our side. I want you to think about that this week. When you stand in the court of the Almighty, what will the verdict be? Our Lord and God, because your word tells us about your love and